MSW Media. Thanks to CB Distillery for supporting the Daily Beans. CB Distillery's targeted formulations are made from the highest quality, clean ingredients. No fluff, no fillers, just pure, effective CBD solutions designed to help support your health. Visit cbdistillery.com and use code DAILYBEANS for 20% off. Hello and welcome to the Daily Beans for Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. Today, the Trump 2016 election interference trial continues. Indicted Arizona fraudulent elector and state senator Jake Hoffman has been elected to a position at the RNC. Hunter Biden indicates he is intending to sue Fox News and the parent corporation. Congressional Republicans are blocking the program to find a cure for cancer, because of course they are. Federal judges rule that West Virginia's and North Carolina's transgender care coverage policies are discriminatory. And the Michigan Attorney General has issued search warrants for Ken Chesbro's online activity. I'm Allison Gill.
And I'm Dana Goldberg.
Hello, Dana. Happy Tuesday, my friend.
Happy Tuesday to you. How are you?
I'm good. You know, it's Tuesday.
Yeah. It's sort of hard to like actually relax into the week because we're like, it just started. And before we know it, it's going to be Friday. And you're going to be like, what the hell happened?
Yeah. Tuesday was always like my least favorite day of the week, just because it's, we're done with the weekend. We still can't hold on to it like we could on Monday. And we're still very far away from the next weekend.
That's fair.
But
not quite
here
hump
we are.
Day. Doesn't have any special meaning.
Yep. It's just Tuesday.
I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
See, there's hamburger payback happening on Tuesdays. That's so fucking funny, dude. High five. Great minds. The trial resumes today. That's good. So we're going to cover the latest on that on tomorrow's Cleanup on Aisle 45. And also on tomorrow's Cleanup on Aisle 45, Dana Nessel, who is a badass, the Michigan Attorney General, has issued search warrants for Ken Chesbro's, remember his secret Twitter account, Badger Pundit or whatever the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she got hundreds and hundreds of pages of his direct messages and Twitter account stuff and emails. That is still an ongoing investigation. For more details, like I said, we're going to talk about that breaking story from ABC on tomorrow's Cleanup on Aisle 45. All right. We have a lot of news to get to today. So let's hit the hot notes.
Hot notes.
All right. First up from Dana Bash at CNN. Hunter Biden is demanding that Fox News remove from its platforms sexually explicit images that President Joe Biden's son says are private. And that's according to a letter obtained by CNN as part of his strategy to publicly fight back against the conservative media. The letter, sent by attorneys for Hunter Biden to Fox News and Fox Corp, alleges conspiracy to defame and unlawful publication of hacked images, seeking corrections and retractions on air and in online articles, to claim that President Biden and his son engaged in a bribery scheme abroad. Hunter Biden's legal team has undertaken an aggressive legal and public relations strategy for several months now. His lawyers have fired off letters demanding investigations into Hunter Biden's opponents and filed a series of lawsuits against his detractors. Hunter Biden's lawyers say they anticipate suing Fox, but haven't yet done so. We will let you know when he does, because I bet they will. I don't think Fox News is going to take down the dick pics.
No.
This stepped up strategy by Hunter Biden to defend himself against the onslaught of attacks initially stoked anxiety among some of President Biden's political advisors. But the president has publicly defended his son, who apparently separately faces gun charges and tax charges in Delaware and California, respectively. Hunter Biden has pled not guilty to those criminal charges. Quote, for the last 5 years, Fox News has relentlessly attacked Hunter Biden and made him a caricature in order to boost ratings and for its financial gain. That's what Hunter Biden's attorney, Mark, let's see, Garagos, Brian Friedman, and Tina Glandian said in a statement. I noticed that Abby Lowell is not part of that statement. CNN has reached out to Fox News for comment, but hasn't gotten anything back. The media outlet aired a mock trial of Hunter Biden on the streaming platform Fox Nation in 2022, focused on the unproven bribery allegations, and published, quote, intimate images of Mr. Biden depicting him in the nude, as well as engaged in sex acts. And that's according to the letter, which demands that Fox immediately remove the series from all streaming platforms. They held a mock trial, Dana. Now, granted, I did a mock Supreme Court ruling on immunity, but that was way more nerdy.
And I appreciate you leaving the dick pics out of that one. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I didn't put any dick pics in my Supreme Court immunity mock ruling. Quote, Fox knows that these private and confidential images were hacked, stolen, or manipulated digital material. That's what Hunter Biden's attorneys wrote in the letter, which contains several of the explicit images, some of which were blurred. Publishing these images, the attorney said, violated the majority of states' laws against the non-consensual disclosure of sexually explicit images and videos, sometimes referred to as revenge porn laws. Hunter Biden's attorneys also take issue with Fox News publishing several articles on the bribery allegations, citing that an FBI informant was recently indicted for allegedly lying to investigators about Hunter Biden and the bribery plot. That informant, as we know, Alexander Smirnoff, has pled not guilty to the charges, and he's going to go to trial in December. Attorneys for the president's son allege that Fox News, quote, initially remained silent on the news of Smirnoff's indictment, despite the fact that this now rendered the prior reporting on these allegations highly misleading. Then, quote, in a brazen show of no remorse, rather than walk back the story and correct the record, Fox doubled down on the debunked bribery allegation and used Smirnoff's indictment to claim that this is an intimidation tactic aimed at silencing whistleblowers, to blame the FBI for its credulity, and to suggest an even deeper conspiracy. That's what the letter says. It also demands Fox News issue editor's notes to online articles informing readers of the indictment, and have several prominent Fox News hosts, including Sean Hannity, Maria Bartiromo, and Jesse Waters, quote, inform their viewers on air that they've been sharing a debunked allegation from a source who's been federally indicted.
I love that last part.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen, but the lawsuit will be fun. The bribery allegations have been central to the GOP's impeachment inquiry into President Biden. Comer has admitted behind the scenes that it's all a bunch of bullshit. And CNN has reported that Republican lawmakers do not have the votes to impeach him.
Thank you so much, AG. This one's from Leah Willingham at the Associated Press. West Virginia's and North Carolina's refusal to cover certain health care for transgender people with government-sponsored insurance is discriminatory. This is from a federal appeals court. That's what they ruled Monday in a case likely headed to the Supreme Court. The Richmond-based 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled 8-6 in the case involving coverage of gender-affirming care by North Carolina's state employee health plan and the coverage of gender-affirming surgery by West Virginia Medicaid. Specifically, North Carolina's policy bars treatment or studies, quote, leading to or in connection with sex changes or modifications and related care, while West Virginia's bars coverage of transsexual surgery. And another quote from the story, the coverage exclusions facially discriminate on the basis of sex and gender identity, and they are not substantially related to an important government interest. This is from Judge Roger Gregory. He was first appointed by former President Bill Clinton and reappointed by former President George W. Bush. He wrote that in a majority opinion. Similar cases are under consideration in courts across the country. But Monday's is the first U.S. Court of Appeals decision to consider government-sponsored coverage exclusions of gender-affirming medical care and whether those exclusions are lawful. The ruling follows a decision earlier this month by the Fourth Circuit judges that West Virginia's transgender sports ban violates the rights of teen athletes under Title IX. We know that's the federal civil rights law that prohibits sex-based discrimination in schools. Like with the transgender sports law ruling, West Virginia's Attorney General Patrick Morrissey said his office planned to appeal Monday's healthcare case decision. Quote, decisions like this one from a court dominated by Obama and Biden appointees cannot stand. We'll take this up to the Supreme Court and win. That's what Morrissey said in a statement. When you say shit like that, I want every retort from this Supreme Court be like, this can't hold with three Trump stolen seats. Like, it's just such a bullshit partisan way to say this. In the majority opinion, judges said the cost of treatment is not a significant argument to support upholding a policy found to be discriminatory. Quote, especially where government budgets are involved, there will frequently be rational basis for discrimination. That's what Judge Gregory wrote. Both states appealed separate lower court rulings that found the denial of gender-affirming care to be discriminatory and unconstitutional. Two panels of three Fourth Circuit judges heard arguments in both cases last year before deciding to intertwine the two cases and see them presented before the full court. In June of 2022, a North Carolina trial court demanded the state plan pay for, quote, medically necessary services, including hormone therapy and some surgeries for transgender employees and their children. The judge had ruled in favor of the employees and the dependents, who said in a 2019 lawsuit that they were denied coverage for gender-affirming care under the plan. The North Carolina State Insurance Plan provides medical coverage for more than 750,000 teachers, state employees, retirees, lawmakers, and their dependents. In August of 2022, a federal judge ruled West Virginia's Medicaid program must provide coverage for gender-affirming care for transgender residents. An original lawsuit filed in 2020 also named state employee health plans. A settlement with the Health Plan for West Virginia, Inc., this is in 2022, it led to the removal of the exclusion on gender-affirming care in the company's public employees insurance agency plans. Unlike North Carolina, West Virginia has covered hormone therapy and other pharmaceutical treatments for transgender people since 2017. Gregory noted that West Virginia's program partially or fully covers surgeries to remove and reconstruct sexual organs or non-gender dysphoria-related diagnoses like cancer. Now, after the ruling, West Virginia plaintiff Shantae Anderson, a Black transgender woman and West Virginia Medicaid participant, called her state's refusal to cover her care deeply dehumanizing. She said, "I'm so relieved that this court ruling puts us one step closer to the day when Medicaid can no longer deny transgender West Virginians access to the essential health care that our doctors say is necessary for us." That's what Anderson said in a statement, and I agree with her.
Yeah, I appreciate Anderson's comments there. And from Rashard Rose at CNN, Arizona State Senator Jake Hoffman, one of the fraudulent electors charged in the Arizona 2020 election subversion case, announced Saturday that he's been elected as the Republican National Committee National Committee Man for the state. Sounds like a really lame superhero.
Really?
I am the RNC National Committee Man.
It's like a meh. It's a meh hero.
With a big C for cunt right on his chest. Quote, "I'm humbled and honored to have been elected as the next RNC National Committee Man for Arizona," he said on Twitter on Saturday. His election comes just days after a grand jury in Arizona handed up an indictment against former Trump allies, including Hoffman, over their efforts to overturn his 2020 election loss. CNN previously reported Hoffman sent a two-page letter to former Vice President Pence on January 5th, 2021, asking him to order that Arizona electors not be decided by popular vote, but instead by the members of the state legislature. Quote, "It is in this late hour with urgency that that committee man respectfully asks that you delay the certification of the election results for Arizona during a joint session of Congress on January 6, 2021, and seek clarification from the Arizona State Legislature as to which slate of electors are proper and accurate." That's what Hoffman wrote at the time. In interviews, Hoffman had repeatedly argued no electors be sent at all because, quote, "we don't have certainty in the outcome of our election," unquote, and to contest Democrat electors if they were sent. Following news of his indictment last week, Hoffman wrote in a statement, "Let me be unequivocal. I am innocent of any crime. I will vigorously defend myself, and I look forward to the day when I am vindicated of this disgusting political persecution by the judicial process." He sounds like committee man, doesn't he?
He does. I'm committee man. Yeah.
I'm committee man. Let me be unequivocal. CNN has reached out to the Arizona GOP and RNC for comment. Now, Boris Epstein, a former White House aide who remains one of Trump's closest advisors, former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, and Rudy Giuliani are also among those who've been indicted. That's according to a source familiar. While Trump is not among those charged in Arizona, the details in the indictment say that he is definitely unindicted co-conspirator one.
Sure likes that label. All right, this is from Aaron Schumacher at Politico. President Joe Biden is scrambling to fund his cancer moonshot and its ambitious goal of cutting the death rate by half, an aim close to his heart that's no longer a bipartisan priority. Lawmakers backed the initiative during the final days of Barack Obama's presidency, passing the 21st Century Cures Act and allotting $1.8 billion to the cause, nearly unanimously. Then Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, meaning then he was the leader, he called it, quote, "the most significant legislation passed by this Congress." Well, that was then. Times have changed. The spending package Congress passed in March doesn't re-up Cures moonshot money that dried up at the end of last year. Lawmakers rejected Biden's request to fund cures this year and also cut off his moonshot's most direct funding stream. The new budget is tight across the board, reflecting Republicans' control of the House, deficit concerns, and not least, their desire to deny Biden a win months before the election. I would say that's probably at the top of the fucking list. Congress's decision has left Biden scrambling to fill that gap. Quote, actions have consequences. Arbitrary calling for spending cuts means the money will come from somewhere. That's from Diana DeGette. I hope I'm saying Diana's last name right. She's a Democrat in Colorado who, with former Rep. Fred Upton, who's a Republican in Michigan, they spearheaded the Cures Law in 2016. That's what they told Politico in an email. Went on to say, it's a shame that we cannot find more funding for cancer research and that this work will be impacted by partisan efforts to slash spending. Republicans see the cuts differently. Of course they do. Quote, when you're running a $1.6 trillion deficit, spending cuts aren't the problem. This is from
The deficit is because of your fucking tax cuts for the rich in 2017. Yeah. These assholes.
It goes up every time there's a Republican president. Rep. Tom Cole, he's a Republican in Oklahoma. He's the new chair of the House Appropriations Committee. That's what he told Politico. This whole $1.6 trillion deficit, spending cuts aren't the problem. He went on to say, we've been very generous, he added, referencing the hundreds of millions in funding since the Cures Law passed. The White House offers a holistic perspective on the funding fallout. And the White House said, we are well prepared to take forward the cancer moonshot in a tough funding cycle. That's from Danielle Carnival. She's the deputy assistant to the president for Cancer Moonshot. That's what she told Politico. She went on to say, we've avoided the critical cuts that Republicans were proposing to the broader National Institutes of Health budget. Went on to say, this is personal to them. Carnival said of the president and, of course, his wife, Dr. Jill Biden, the first lady. The initial moonshot program launched under Obama was named after Biden's son, Beau. He died of brain cancer in 2015. So you can read all about this at politico.com. We hope you do. The story's got a lot of good stuff in there.
Thank you so much. And yeah, leave it to Republicans to not want to fund a cure for cancer because they don't want to give Biden a win. We don't want to fix anything. We don't want to help people. We don't want to help Americans, families, healthcare, the border, anything. If it helps Biden in the election.
It's awful.
Un-fucking believable, but totally also very believable. I mean, you know, we see it time and again, and they admit to it. They say it. They say we don't want to give Biden a win, you know? Truly gross. And, you know, to see Lindsey Graham on TV saying that he's going to vote for Trump over Biden, who's been his friend for decades, it's just unbelievable. And Bill Barr.
It's just gross. Barr even. Ugh, that whole fucking interview. I wanted to jump through the computer.
Just to be, you know, to sit there and say, oh yeah, he definitely broke the law. He should stay far away from he's the most horrible president. He's a huge threat to national security. Those indictments in the Mar-a-Lago documents case are serious, blah, blah, blah. Oh, but I'll still vote for him.
She even read that tweet where Trump just disgustingly destroys him because he thinks he's a comic. And Barr laughed it off. Oh, that was very Trump-like.
Typical Trump.
Typical Trump.
God, jeez. All right. We have a lot of good news we need to get to, but we have to take a quick break first. So everybody stick around. We'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's AG. Have you ever found yourself questioning the effectiveness of all the various health remedies in your cabinet or on top of your fridge that you've been trying over the years? I've been there. Remedy after remedy, but no real results. And time passes. I try something new, but it always ends up being a waste of resources and time. But that all changed when I discovered CB Distillery. It's like a breath of fresh air. It cuts through the noise with its commitment to high-quality, clean ingredients that genuinely work. The positive reviews are hard to ignore. 81% of users report feeling more relaxed. 80% notice a difference in managing post-activity pain. And an impressive 90% say their sleep has improved. Integrating CB Distillery into my daily routine has elevated my approach to wellness, and thanks to their focus on quality and effective products, it changed my health. From less anxiety to better sleep, it's been a change and an improvement I'd desperately been seeking this whole time. So it's clear from our widespread user satisfaction that CB Distillery is making a real difference. Their dedication to clear, honest practices makes them a go-to for anyone looking to enhance their health regimen with reliable, effective support. I cannot endorse CB Distillery enough. It's been a real turning point for me, and I just know they'll help you out as much. And with over 2 million customers and a solid 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery is the source I trust. I have a 20% discount code to get you started. Visit cbdistillery.com and use code DAILYBEANS for 20% off. That's cbdistillery.com. Code DAILYBEANS. cbdistillery.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Monarch Money. Are you saving to reach your financial goals? Reaching those goals isn't just about getting more money, but by managing what you have. And the best way to manage your money? Monarch Money. Monarch Money is a new kind of finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and takes the headaches out of budgeting. Try it free when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. Monarch puts all your accounts, investments, transactions, and finances at your fingertips. With a complete view of your finances, you'll gain insights on your spending and find new ways to save. Plus, Monarch lets you customize your dashboard, collaborate with your partner, set custom budgets and goals, and track your progress toward them. See why Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it, and why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch Money the best budgeting app overall. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
Everybody, welcome back. It's time for the good news.
Who likes good news, everyone? Then good news, everyone.
Good news. And if you have any good news, confessions, corrections, you want to play What the Fark is in your arc, where you send us your pod pet tax or a photo or a drawing of any animal ever in the history of animals, we'll try to guess what it is.
I would be happy to.
And again, it started out as What the Mutt, and it was just send us your adopted pups and we'll try to guess what breeds are in there. But it's expanded to any animal you want. And Dana especially loves baby animals, including baby humans. So send your
all
baby
of them.
Photos.
Any babies, any baby anythings.
I concur. I also love frogs. Send frog photos. If you have a great story about how a democratic program has helped you, we've got a couple of great Social Security stories, some really great Medicare stories, and obviously your student debt relief stories are really, really important and wonderful. Send those to us. If you have a shout out to a loved one or a small business in your area, if you don't have pod pet tax to pay, you can send us an adoptable pet in your area or just a shout out to your local shelter so folks can go and, you know, adopt instead of shop always. We thank you so much for all of your good news. Send it to us at dailybeanspod.com and click on contact. All right, let's see here. First up, we have a submission from Kirsten in PA01. Awesome. Pronouns she and her. Good news, Beans Queens. I got to send three cheers to everyone who supports Swing Left because they just threw a canvas here in the very purple 1st Congressional District of Pennsylvania, and 92 folks showed up to give their time on a lovely April Saturday. We launched Ashley Ehas's general election campaign with a bang. From my position staffing at the turf table, I could tell you the enthusiasm was palpable. We literally ran out of turfs and had to cut an emergency batch to accommodate the number of volunteers. Talk about a good problem to have, right? We're going to flip the first, and MAGA enabler and GOP Nepo baby Brian Fitzpatrick is going to need to find another job in January. It was just a great start to the general campaign season. And if you can, head over and help out PA1. That's the Dem congressional candidate, Ashley Ehas, at Ehas, Ehasz, forcongress.com. Canvassing help is amazing, but folks who can't do that like me can help in other ways. We will find something that you can do.
Nice.
Look at these photos of all these really like fired up mofos in PA1. Thank you. Thank you for this.
I love it. This one's from Kristen O, pronoun she and her. She and her, I know. This is a shout out to the great work being done by my cousin and her veterinarian husband in their mini horse sanctuary in Virginia. I need to go immediately. They rescue hundreds of mini horses and donkeys and have accumulated a great group of volunteers. For Pod Pet Tax, here's a picture of me with one sneaking up behind me and a pic of a blind pony with her seeing eye companion. We'll have a link to Allegius Mini Equine Sanctuary. In the show notes, we'll have a link for you. Oh my God. Okay. I'm going to Google and see how far this is from Washington, D.C., because I'm going to be there in September. And if I can work a little bit of extra time and go to Virginia, like if it's close enough across the border, I'm coming to visit.
Okay. So we got Tiny Horse Sanctuary and we got Falconry.
Oh my God.
Really, really fucking excited. Also, love the glasses frames, right?
Those are good.
All right, next up from Nick, pronouns he and him. Good day, purveyors of the news. This weekend, GER, The Wonder Asshole, this is a patron's corgi, by the way, gave us quite a scare that turned out to be rather amusing in retrospect. Friday night, a little before 8 p.m., Gurr started getting a bit wobbly and acting like he was hiccuping, even though he wasn't. He didn't want to navigate stairs and he got very lethargic, which is a stark contrast from his normal energetic, attention-seeking personality. He got us really worried and I set an alarm for the next morning so I could make sure I could call around to vets who are open on Saturdays to see if I could get him in. I couldn't, but the last one I talked to did tell me that because I hadn't seen any blood in what he left on the bathroom floor overnight, that was a good sign. I figured that sounded okay and went back to bed for a while. He started to pick back up by the early afternoon, which was heartening. Around 2 p.m., my wife figured out the issue. See, my wife suffers from chronic migraines and uses medical cannabis, and related products to manage her pain. It turned out she'd left the remnants of the kind of brownie you'd pay $8 for
on
the desk. Of course, she hadn't left said remnants far enough back on the desk. For those not familiar, living with a corgi, leaving food anywhere close to where those stubby loaves can reach it is a mistake because they will find a way to reach it and eat it. Yes, it turned out that Gurr was high as balls on Delta 9. The chocolate and the brownie didn't help, certainly. But he certainly got a non-standard consequence of eating something he shouldn't. I'm sure this won't stop him from popping the fridge door open and searching for unauthorized snacks, because if he's determined enough to break two child locks, getting a little high isn't going to serve as any kind of lesson. Pet tax. A picture of the thieving little schmuck on an outing to Home Depot. I saw the sign and knew there was a photo op. Also included his cookie, caught here at the perfect instant, sticking his tongue out during the Super Bowl, as well as our guinea pigs, Lemmy and Treble. Keep up the good work unless it's getting to be too much, in which case, take a vacation. Yeah, AG, that means you. Yeah, fair. Hi, Gurr. Oh, look at Cookie and the little piggles. Oh, these guinea pigs are adorable.
So sweet. Thank you, thank you.
Thanks,
okay.
Nick.
Okay. Yep, this one's from Dave, pronouns he and him. After last week, I thought I could assist in the expungement of the term pecker from our collective thoughts with some pictures of some of the hardest working and beneficial peckers in the business. This first picture is the day they came home. They were a few days old at the time. Not sure why I'm having a hard time reading this submission. They were a few days old at the time, about 18 months ago. The picture with the eggs was weird. I was collecting the eggs and put them on the grass, which was not typical, and they all ran over and protected them. One of them even seems to have a what the cluck expression on her face. Between the six of them, they produce about 2.5 dozen eggs a week and provide for 3 families, champions. If you want to play what the cluck, be my guest.
Oh, wow. Well, they're beautiful.
Are they silky chickens?
No, they don't have the feet things.
Oh, true. That's right. The fuzzy things are in the feet.
Yeah. So these are just beautiful, regular. They look like, I'm going to call them Dracula chickens because they're 100% black, except for the comb.
Okay. And I'm going to call them redheaded chickens.
They are Australorp Hyaline Brown mixes.
Otherwise known as redheaded black chickens.
Also known as chickens. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for playing What the Cluck with us, Dave. That's amazing.
That was fun. Why don't you just take
I'll
the last
the last two. Yep. Here.
Yep.
Que sera. Yep. Okay, she sent a stock joke. What does a fish say when it swims into a cement wall, Dana?
Tell me.
Damn.
I had it on the script, but I didn't want to ruin that for everyone listening.
I know, yeah. Don't step on my punchline.
What do you call a fish with no eyes?
What?
Okay, go ahead.
What do you call a deer with no eyes?
No idea.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be here all week. Thanks, people.
Yes, tip your servers. Florida Mom writes, I've been listening to my Daily Beans first thing every morning since the kitchen days. Yay, Florida Mom. For Mother's Day this year, I've asked my kids to skip the cards and flowers. Instead, I've asked them to verify that their voter registration is active and accurate with the correct address and to let me know that they have a plan to vote. What a great idea. Moms and dads on Mother's Day and Father's Day this year, that's a great Mother's and or Father's Day present.
I think it's brilliant.
To get your kids to send you a screenshot of their registration and what their plan is. I love it. Thank you, Florida Mom. And thanks, everybody, for your amazing good news submissions. If you have anything really literally at all that you want to send to us, except for Hunter Biden dick pics, we've seen them. If you want to send us anything at all, send it to us at dailybeanspod.com and click on contact. The little, you know, the little horses.
They're
are fucking
so
killing
cute.
Me.
I know.
Little Sebastians. Thank you so much. Do you have any final thoughts before we get out of here on this wonderful Tuesday, my friend?
Nah, no final thoughts for today.
Nah, me neither. Everybody, we'll be back in your ears tomorrow. Don't forget, there's a new episode of Clean Up on Aisle 45 tomorrow with Pete Strzok and me. You don't want to miss it. Until then, everybody, please take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Take care of the planet. Take care of your mental health. Take care of your family. Vote blue over Q.
And please take everyone you know with you.
I've been AG.
And I've been DG.
And them's the beans. The Daily Beans is written and executive produced by Allison Gill, with additional research and reporting by Dana Goldberg. Sound design and editing is by Desiree McFarlane, with art and web design by Joel Reeder with Moxie Design Studios. Music for The Daily Beans is written and performed by They Might Be Giants, and the show is a proud member of the MSW Media Network, a collection of creator-owned podcasts dedicated to news, politics, and justice. For more information, please visit mswmedia.com. MSW Media.
Hi, I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
Hi, this is John Cryer, and I am hosting a new 7-part true crime podcast called Lawyers, Guns, and Money. That'll challenge everything you think you know about U.S. covert operations and presidential misconduct. From Jack Bryan, the director of American PSYOP, comes the incredible true story of John Mattis, a newly sworn-in Miami public defender in the 1980s who has found himself completely in over his head.
I step off the plane, and there is a van with a couple guys with Uzis. And one of them in broken English said, "Welcome to Bogota, John."
Mattis's first felony defendant has been arrested for having a machine gun and tells Mattis a dangerous secret.
He was shipping arms into Central America on behalf of the CIA. As a first-time lawyer, I want to act like I know what I'm doing.
But with the help of a Colombian drug smuggler...
How much money the CIA raised by hitting up drug dealers?
A lot of money, millions of dollars.
An Alabama mercenary...
They were prepared to die to the last man. I saw this in them. I saw the fire in their eyes. And they made me their war chief.
And a newly elected senator, John Kerry.
We are looking at allegations of drug running, gun smuggling, conspiracy to commit murder and murder itself.
He'll fight to free his client.
The judge said, "Show me in a courtroom how we were at war."
Expose an illegal war being run by the White House.
I mean, I wanted him involved, but I didn't want to be on record as doing it.
And somehow stay alive in the process.
I just escaped a kidnapping by the CIA in Costa Rica.
This is Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
So you have a man in an Armani suit standing on the bow of a boat with a rocket launcher and says, "If I lose sight of you, I will launch. You will be vaporized."
Available everywhere starting October 29th, or get it ad-free and early starting October 22nd at lawyersgunsandmoney.supercast.com. There you'll find bonus episodes along with exclusive content. Subscribe now.